It's been a great night for me so far. I met a lady in the back, and she was married for 51 years. And I always, when I meet somebody like that, I ask for advice. Because you being a year and a half in, they've had a lot of year and a halves. You know what I'm saying? So she told me, she said, pray together and stay together. And so I thank you for that. That was great. You know, sometimes life's so busy, you just don't take a lot of time to pray yourself, let alone with your spouse. So that was just a good reminder, so thank you very much. And my family is here, so I get, you know, it's not every day that you get the mic and your family is in the crowd, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just glad that they remembered me. You know, being the third child, you know, it's just like, you know, sometimes you just get lost in the shuffle, you know? How many of you are oldest children tonight? If you're the oldest, raise your hand. Okay, yep, I see that. See, very bold. Yep, I was. Paved the way for my family, yes, thank you. Thank you. Yep, you can put your hand out. How many of you were the middle children? Yep. And you guys understand. Yeah. I mean, if you went to the fair, you know, they'd leave you there sometimes and they'd have to come back and get you. You understand? Okay. How many youngest? Oh, yeah. It's me. Yeah. I'm the favorite. Thank you. Yeah. Yep. That's how it is. My youngest brother is here tonight. So, yeah. Yep. So we know how that is. We've had to work through that. I've had to forgive a lot. And, No, I like to have fun when they're here, but man, had great parents, really thankful that they raised us to love God and in His Word, and I can honestly say, and I'm not bragging on this, I'm praising God for this, that each one of my brothers loves the Lord, so I'm just thankful, you know, so it's just a wonderful thing, so had a good day, hope you had a good day, it was good for me, just as we looked at in Revelations, God and loving God. It was good for me to reflect this afternoon a little bit just to see where my heart was on that. And so hope you guys had a good time to do that. You can turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 6 if you have your Bible. And my sound man up top, I don't know if you can do this, but if you could throw up just Luke chapter 6 verse verse 27. If you can do that. If you can, it's no big deal. Yeah, okay. But if you want to throw that up there for me, that'd be great. So, some of you people will know this name when I say it, but we're going to look at something tonight that I believe is real important because the Bible is real clear. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's number one. And then the following thing to that, and I think if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you can do the second thing, which is love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And it's interesting, as I was thinking about loving your neighbor, God brought me to Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And think about this with me. It says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you." And some of you will remember back in 1999, there was a girl by the name of Casey Bernal. And she was part of the school shooting in Colorado, known as Columbine High School. And this girl is remarkable, and she has a book out, and some of you might have read this, but she was a graduating senior in high school. She was ready to move on in life, and she loved the Lord, and she was so in love with God that people knew it. Okay, like she's in, and if you know Colorado, it's a little bit more liberal place there, and so this young lady, what happened? Was, you know what, she loved two boys in her high school. They knew she was a Christian. They're torrential winds. There they went. We were kind of over here making fun, like, oh, we kind of like the wind up here. Now it got me. So she loved two boys in her high school. And you know what, they could give two rips about her. There went again. The devil's in the house. Watch out, everybody, okay? I don't know. I'm just going to put this book on top for now. But this is what happened. So those boys knew she was a Christian. And then when they finally went ahead and did and planned their day and did what they wanted to do, they actually went and found her and said to her, "You deny God." And you know what? She said, "I won't. Yes, Jesus is Lord." And they execute her on the spot. So that is Casey Brunell, but the story didn't end, okay? Here's the truth about your enemy. When you start thinking tonight about who God wants you to love, your enemy is somebody that messed up your life in some major way. And you know what? Casey's life ended, but you know what? Her family had to keep going. And so what was so crazy about this story is then when her dad had a chance to get on the radio, when he finally came to grips with it, and he admits in many, many interviews, if you've heard this story and seen the video clips and heard the news broadcast, he struggled with this. This was not an easy thing, but you know what he was able to do? Those boys were his enemy. They messed up his life. They killed his baby girl. And you know what? God gave him the capacity to love his enemy. And you know what? Tonight and this week, if we are going to be different and see new people come to Christ and live a life that is evangelistic living, this is what it looks like, that you love your enemies. So let's pray and ask God to help us with this thought tonight. Lord, this is something that I know is not me naturally. And this is something that even in our minds probably goes against the grain. Because the person that's messing up my life, I don't want to get close to them. I don't want to help them. But God, help us to see tonight why you say this from your word. Lord, help us to use this to reach Mifflinburg and Central Pennsylvania this week, as we think about who we want to bring to a service. Lord, we need you, we love you, and we thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Another person that had to deal with this was a guy by the name of Steve Saint. Many of you know his father, Nate Saint, okay? And you know probably one other guy, Jim Elliott, way better. And because Jim's wife went on to do many radio and many broadcasts and really kind of took the world by storm with the story of Jim Elliott and God's word and really used that as a platform to minister. And Nate Saint and Jim Elliott, as you know, were killed by the Aka Indians. And Steve was Nate Saint's son, and he was 3 years old when that happened. And he said it was not a pleasant experience growing up without a dad. And some of you in the crowd tonight might know what that feels like a little bit. But you know what? He had the opportunity, as he grew up, he got married, and then he had children. He had the opportunity to go over and minister to that tribe. And the person that his children adopted as their grandpa was the exact guy that actually killed his father. Was not an easy time for him when he realized who it was and what was going on. He said, I struggled. If you hear his interviews, I had a huge problem. And you know what? Not only that, but his youngest boy, he kind of came to a head and it came to a climax in his mind when his youngest son, he went over and ministered with the Akas, came back, his youngest son was graduating, and he went to his youngest son and said, son, what would you like for your graduation present? And he said, I want grandpa to come over and see me graduate. And so Steve Saint, dealing with the same issue and could not on his own strength forgive this man. But when God brought him to this passage, he was able to realize that this was an enemy in his life that God wanted him to forgive. Here's the question right away. Who has messed up your life? Who's messed up your life? Right now, if I said to you, who's the enemy in your life? Who comes to mind? Is it somebody right now? Is it somebody from the past? Is it somebody that's in your family? Is it a friend, a used-to-be friend, a coworker, a boss? But who in your mind tonight is your enemy? The truth is, when Jesus said this, we jump right into the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And what's going on is Jesus is walking with his disciples, and a huge crowd began to follow him. And he's walking. This huge crowd's following him. And Jesus had a great way of dispersing crowds. Because when he would turn around and begin to talk, it was usually things that weren't easy to do. It had to take supernatural things to accomplish what he was saying. And so he turns around and he starts talking about what a true disciple looks like. And he gets here to verse 27. And he says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies." So, love your enemies. What does this look like? What does this look like? This looks like this. It looks like, because who was he really talking to? The Jews. It was a group of Jews following him. So him looking at the Jews and saying, love your enemies, was him saying to them, the Roman soldiers that are occupying Israel right now and are putting you under oppression, those are the people that you're supposed to love. Let me bring it up to date for you. If you're in Israel right now, you know what? Jesus would be saying to them, see those Palestinians that have their guns and their missiles pointed right at you and at any moment could blow up your world? Those are the people that I want you to love. That's what this is talking about. This is something that is radical. And you know what? It's something that is really hard to do. You know what? It's kind of interesting because the truth is, in Matthew chapter 5, it's a parallel passage to Luke chapter 6. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can. But it's very interesting because in Matthew chapter 5, what he says is this. He says this, You have heard it said this in verse, actually, I'm sorry, I missed it. It's in verse 45, 43. It says this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." He turned around and said this to the Jews, why this was so dramatic, love your enemies, and why you might feel very dramatic right now about it is because of this. The most religious people of that day were saying the exact opposite. The people of that day, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, were actually telling the people, they were saying, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. Now, why would they say that? Because all throughout the Old Testament, and the Pharisees had the whole Old Testament memorized. So this doesn't even make sense. In the Old Testament, what does it say? If thine enemy be hungry, Proverbs 25:21, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. The Lord shall reward thee. Show love to your enemy. So they knew that. They had that memorized. Leviticus 19:18. What does that say? That says, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. But you know why this was so devastating? And this was, you know why the Pharisees changed that teaching? You know why they said, hate your enemies? You know why they said that? Because they couldn't do it. That's the whole point. If you and me try to go at this in our own strength, you'll fail. It's impossible to do in your human strength. You can't. It's absolutely impossible. And that's why they had to change the teaching. Because they said, we can't do that. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll say this. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. And you know what Jesus did with that? He took your neighbor and they said, and in the Gospels, what did they say? They said, who is our neighbor? They questioned Jesus. They say, who is our neighbor? And what did Jesus do? He went to the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you know what? In the Good Samaritan, what do we see? We see two people that were supposed to be completely at odds with each other and hate each other. And he brings those two together, and the one helps the other, pays for the other one, saves the other one's life. And we find in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we find this. Who's your neighbor? Whoever God puts next to you. It doesn't matter who it is. It's if you're in the grocery store and the person comes up next to you, that's your neighbor. Your coworker that's gunning for your job, you know what? That's your neighbor. That's your enemy. That's the person that God wants you to love. The person in the grocery store, they might be fairly easy to love. But you know what? Your family member that took your inheritance, they're not so easy to love anymore. You know what? I know as a teenager, you know what? If you feel like there's a favorite child in your home, they're not easy to love. You know what? And your parents, it turns into it's hard to love my parents right now. So this is what we're talking about. Something that's supernatural. Something that we can't do on our own. So what does he say to do? What does Jesus say to do here in Luke chapter 6? Well, let's just look at it for just a minute and see what God says. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. So number one, if you're taking notes, it'll be just real easy. Number one, change your mind. Change your mind. You got to think differently about the person that's your enemy. What does that mean? You know what? I have to think about them like Jesus thinks about them. How does Jesus think about them? You know what he says? You know what Jesus says in Romans? It says this, Romans 5:8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the example, and that's how Jesus wants you to change your mind. You know what? You know what that verse means? It means that while we were still sinning against God, he died for us. You know what? While that person is still messing your life up, that's when you need to love him. You want to live the way Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. So number one, change your mind. Number two, what does it say? Do good to those who hate you. Whoa. Okay, so I'm supposed to do good now. Okay, yeah, that's right. Do good to those who hate you. I think a great example of this is, how many of you know Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty? You know who I'm talking about? Yeah, awesome. I love that show. I know I probably shouldn't, but I love it. If you don't know, I mean, you know from just watching the show that they have a sense of God. But if you ever watch I Am Second, which is a little clip of their life, he kind of dives into his life and kind of what God brought him through. And so he was a rough character for a long time. And God showed up through a person loving him, through a bar conversation and telling him about Jesus. He accepts Christ. But you know what? He had no money. So you know what he started doing? He started fishing for a living. So he goes out on a boat, started setting his nets. And he said, there's two different types of people in Louisiana. There's rednecks and river rats. And rednecks like to fish and like to hunt for a living, but river rats steal from the rednecks. And that's what he was finding, is these people, he didn't know who they were. Every time he'd come back, his nets were empty. And he came to this passage where it said, do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who are your enemy. And he said to God, he said, God, they're stealing my fish. They're ruining my life. This is how I'm making money. This is how I'm feeding my family. And he said, you know what? He came to the point. He said, God, it doesn't make sense, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it. Well, you know what? The next day, he's out checking his nets. He sees the people through the brush stealing from him again. He caught them. And he said, I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you, but I'm taking my shotgun just in case. So he buzzed out in his boat and got to these guys. And he said, what are you doing? And they said, nothing. He's like, what's that in your hand? They're like, a net. He's like, yeah, it's my net. He said, but here's what I'm going to do. He said, whatever you pull up, I'm going to give to you. Whatever you pull up out of the net, given to you. And you know what? They pulled up a bunch of fish. He put them in his boat. And he said, those people rowed off. And he said, they just looking back in amazement. But he said, the crazy thing is that they stopped stealing from me up and down the river. He said, God was right. You know what? God was right. And he, you know, it doesn't make sense, right? This is radically different type of living. This is radically different. But I'll tell you right now, if you want to evangelize the lost in this area, And you know what? I used to go looking for the prettiest people I could find, you know? Like, oh yeah, God would want this person in their kingdom. You know, when I was a teenager, it was girls, right? Oh, God wants this one, you know? But you know what I realized? After studying through this, I realized that, you know what? If you want to see people come to Christ, you know what? You do what God says and you find the person that's messing up your life. And you know what? You evangelize them like this. You change your mind about them. And you start doing good to them. What's going to start happening? You know, I'll tell you right now what's going to start happening if they're in your workplace. People are going to say, what are you doing? Why did you pay for their lunch? What are you doing? What's happening? You know, some of us, it's, you know, I use the workplace as an example, but some of us, it's right in our own family. Our family members, and it's wrong, right? Like, my family's supposed to be who's close to me, and they're my arch enemies. You know what? But that's who God's talking about. Whoever is in your mind right now as your enemy, this is what he wants you to do. So number one, change your mind. Do good to them. Number three, bless those who curse you. So bless those who curse you. The people that are slandering you behind your back, the people that are coming after your name, so to speak, and saying all kinds of mean things, whether it's to your face or in a setting that's just really making it difficult for you. You know what God says? You bless them. How do you do that? You know what? It's as easy as, you know what, when the boss pulls you into the office and he's like, hey, this person said this about you. You know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, well, no, I didn't. But you know what? The first tendency is to blow them back. Just smoke them, you know? Well, I'll tell you what, you didn't see this, boss, but you know what they did? Boom! And just lay it to them. But you know what? When was the last time that you tried to look at the good in that person's life? Something good that they've done. Maybe it's in the past. Maybe you just saw them do it. But you know what? Because they're your enemy, you don't like talk about it. And you don't want to think about it. Like, you try to twist anything good they do into like, oh, that was stupid. Like, they did that out of wrong motives or whatever. It's so easy to do that when you're looking at somebody that's gunning for you. You know what? The other thing that I think we so overlook, and I've just realized this because at camp right now, we're getting a lot of mail. But you know what? A lot of the mail that I get is junk. But when I get something that's addressed to me in handwriting, I'm like, ooh, whoa, okay, open this baby up. Who wants to talk to me? You know what? And you could write a letter or send an email encouraging that person and blessing them with what? You know what? You know what you could really bless them with? The hope that lies within you. You know what? The reason that you can actually change your mind about them, do good to them, and speak Jesus into their life is for that reason right there. You could actually bless them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you can do. So you don't do the same thing they do to you. You do the exact opposite. You give them you give them a blessing in some way. And you know what? I don't know your situation, but the Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to do if you're surrendered to Him. The Holy Spirit will tell you. So, change your mind. Do good physically. Speak good into their life and bless them. And then the last thing is this. What does it say? Pray for those who abuse you. Pray for those. Wow, okay. So now, it's not just in what I'm doing in the day-to-day when I'm with them. Now it's, you know what, when it's my time, when it's me time, my quiet time, me and God time, I'm taking them to the Lord. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this problem, I'm going to take all this and give it to the Lord. So this is how you appeal for them. This is where we're all done. Tell me, how would we know how to appeal for them? Think about this. What did Stephen say? When he was, you know what? He was just trying to tell the people the truth. And what did and these people come after him and they get mad because he's trying to give them the truth about the gospel and they begin to stone him. And what does he say? He looks up to heaven and says this, lay not this sin to their charge. Wow. Boy. So that's the example. Your enemy, Lay not this sin to their charge. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'll tell you what, that brings us to a whole nother situation where, you know what? How many of our enemies have no clue what they're doing? Whether to us personally or to the kingdom of God as a whole. You know what? It might be somebody in this church that has hurt you and cut you deeply. You know what? And I know what that feels like. I mean, if you think that you're the only person with a dysfunctional family, my dad was raised with 13 brothers and sisters, okay? And some of you might be able to beat that. If the Duggars might be in here tonight, I don't know. But, you know, that I'm telling you, with that comes a whole mess of problems, you know? And you get hurt along the way. You know what? The church that I went to all my life, when I was a freshman in college, we had to leave. Not fun. People hurt us. Absolutely. But you know what? They had no clue what they were doing. And that's what I started to realize is, you know what? The people that hurt me, most of the time they have no clue what they're doing. Number one to me, and the one that I really need to think about is God, how they're hurting God. But think about this. Think about this. You know what? You weren't always a child of God. There was a time when you were God's arch enemy. And when you opposed God and resisted him at every step of the road. And there goes those winds again. But what does God say? You know what he says? Romans 3, 10 through 12. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. But God, who's rich in mercy, came down, and you know what? He wants to forgive your sins, and he led the way in loving enemies. Because you know what? When he said this in Luke chapter 6, you know what he was heading for? He was headed for the cross to die for every person in the world, and every person in the world at one time was an enemy of God. So, who's that person in your mind that we started out with? Who's the one who's messed up your life or is? What do you think? If we want to see God do a revival this week, you know what it starts with? It starts with me. You know what? Forgiving them like God forgave me. And you know what? Then I start acting like God did for me. Number one, he changed his mind about me. He turned me from a son, from an enemy to a son. You know what? He does good to me. And he's always been good to me. He's always spoken good into my life. And you know what? He sits right now at the right hand of the Father interceding for me. Every moment of every day. Are you ready to do that for your enemy tonight? Let's bow our head. Lord, we want to come to you tonight. We just want to be honest. Lord, will you help us to be honest tonight about where we're at and what you want for us? Lord, you know that I speak about this, but I have not conquered this. You know there's enemies in my life that I struggle with every day. And Lord, help me this week to do this and to love my enemies the way that you love me. So would you tonight, if God is working in your heart, tell me this. How many of you did God bring an enemy to your mind? Would you just raise your hand? If God brought one of those to your mind, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks for being honest. You see that? Thank you. Thank you. And you know, if anybody wants to come, if our pianist would come up and just play real softly just for a minute, you know what? If anybody wants to come and just sit at the altar here and pray with either Pastor Crow or me, that'd be fine. But I just want to ask one more question, just in the silence of the moment. How many of you are ready that had their hand raised about your enemy, how many of you are ready to leave it go and stop trying on your own power and are ready to let God help you love your enemies? How many of you would say, Seth, you know what? That's where I'm at tonight. I'm going to start. Would you raise your hand if that's you?